You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you. Spirit of God, honor your word. Help us, God, that we might come to grips, that we might be gripped by your wonderful truth. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John in chapter 15, we share together that the last section, 16, 17, are exercises where God goes and makes a wonderful, wonderful effort. The disciples don't interrupt. They don't ask any questions. They just are taken because he is about to go out the door to the cross. And the wonderful, wonderful truths that he has shared in chapter 14, etc. That without me, well, do it, or just look at chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you go on and on and on. Awesome, awesome privilege to carry out, to experience the continued, as if you were there, way to say it, as if you were living in the days of Peter and James and John, and you were with the Lord. And the Lord just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, had access to God, and he did what he did at all times and had what he had in word and thought and mentally and spiritually and everything. And if one of Peter or John could, if the Lord said, now, you can be just like me, wouldn't that be something? Here's the 12 of them. And if he said to, oh, here's John, you can do, I want you to go out down the street and I want you to be just like me and have all the wonderful insides that I have. They never could say, they never had that. But he did. What a thing it would have been for them to have in them that awesome, everything he did. He always pleased the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, so here we are looking. And God in this, you're about to go out the door to the crucifixion. And therefore everything must happen and must, the pieces need to be understood quickly. Even though they are not going to put the pieces together, they're not going to be able to understand the reality until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But in the process, they are going to remember it. God told them, and God gave them the instructions. Now, so in chapter 15, we share together that he is the vine, and they are the branches. They have a unique relationship to him in a most awesome way. And they're in his presence. And they enjoyed it, they didn't understand it, but boy, they were there. Now, so here we are looking, we went back and looked at the Israelites. And the Israelites were there, they had the temple, tabernacle I should say, out in the middle of them. And the tabernacle, even though they were way over here, they couldn't see it, but the tabernacle, when it was still, the cloud by day, and the fire by night. Couldn't miss it. You lived in the atmosphere, the same as we do, of a sunny sky. Wow, a moonlit night. We live in it. Well, they were living in that, so they were, and they had. They had in every way, water, food, clothing. They had no needs compared to Israel, Egypt. It was an awesome thing. And you know, being in God's wonderful, wonderful presence, I don't know how you could be in it more. I don't know how. And therefore, every time they drank water in a place where there is no water, and had food abundantly where there was no food. Wow. Wow. Now, in having all of that, they just didn't appreciate God. They just didn't do it, like we shared in Sunday school and that. It's very hard to find a word of thanksgiving out of their mouth in 38 years. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, over to Psalm 106 for a moment. Psalm 106. And it's Psalm 106, picking up the thought, if I may. This is a rehearsing their history. So that God keeps, so you don't have, God gives his own commentary so you understand what was going on. So here in Psalm 106, may I pick up, please, in thought, in verse 5. Well, I got to read verse 4 then. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. So there's no question, no cover up with Moses. There's no one, everything is what they understood that. Verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Now, here's all these awesome, awesome, awesome plagues. The 10 plagues of Egypt, which there's no way you could be in Egypt and not have experienced them or known them. No way. Wow. Now, did they understand? No. No. Nope. Now, when they went to the wilderness, chapter 106, verse 14, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God and put him to the test in the desert. And he gave them their request, and he sent leanness into their soul. He gave them what they wanted, and in the process, they paid a price for it. Because they got their leanness into their soul, they got anemic and sickly. And they asked for it mentally and otherwise. That's why he got from bad to worse. Because they asked, they said, we don't want to. We don't want to understand. We don't want to understand who you are and what you're doing and why you do it. We don't want to know. And they didn't. They just didn't know. Now, with that background, Israel failed to connect as a nation to Israel. Israel failed to connect as a nation to God, and therefore they lost out. Now, coming to where we are in the New Testament, and God, here we are. Now, when we share together, here's the church on the day of Pentecost. The believers on the day of Pentecost, you certainly understood what was happening. Something awesome was happening, and it did. And it did thereafter. And God showed signs and wonders, and the apostles did them and everything, and God, wow. So how could you be a believer back then? That's when you were a believer. There was only believers, and they gathered together, or you weren't a believer. And if you weren't a believer, you didn't do it. And if you were going to be a believer, you understood that you could lose your job, your parents could hate you, everything would happen, and persecuted. That's what it costs you. You want to get saved and come out from among them? It's going to cost you. Boy, people got saved then, but they did get saved. It cost them something to get saved, and they did. So it was a wonderful time, and all those believers were very real and enjoyed life. Now, so here we are down the corridor of time, and God has said in it that I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, etc. Now, so we share together that we need to understand what are you saying that's so absolutely critical and necessary, as we've been sharing, John chapter 15, and in verse 4 and in verse 5. We share together, we've been sharing that. Now, so here we are, and we share together so we understand what God is looking for. Now, God, you made us, not like cats or dogs, or angels even. You made us very special in your image and likeness, Genesis 1:26. You made us for yourself. We are designed not for trees, to climb trees like a monkey, to live in the desert like spiders or that. Nope. We were designed to enjoy the Creator God. Period. That's what he did. Now the world didn't want to, everything, creation, all of it's there to say about God, but we don't want to think about God. We don't want to have to do that. And they excluded God and had God absent from their life. And therefore, they have had the absence of light in their darkness, and the absence of death in death, and they had death in the absence of life. Now, so God, you made it. So the disciples, going back to them in particular, here's the believer. Now, God, you really, really, really saved. When I receive the Lord as my Savior, according to your word, and I do it with an act of my will and with my heart, I am truly going to receive you. I open the door, and you're going to come in. Absolutely. Second, now the reality of that. Now, so God, you made us for yourself. And if I were to take a light bulb, if that's an illustration for you, and I take the light bulb and I put it in the thing. I'm going to use a different thing, ladies, a hair dryer. I'm going to take a hair dryer and I'm going to go and I hold it. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the hair dryer but nothing happens. So I go and find an outlet and I take the little prongs because the hair dryer was made to receive something from those prongs, that were on the dryer, the hair dryer. So I plug it in, and the hair dryer zooms away now, because I connected. God, what are you telling the disciples? You've got to connect. Just think of Sunday school. If you don't go far enough, come unto me, but you didn't go. You went to aisle 10, but never went through the door. And if you don't get to me, you've got nothing. The plug's wonderful. The hair dryer is wonderful. But if it doesn't have the power in it, it isn't going to do anything. Simple illustration. And you have your phones, smartphones these days. And everything is on them from all over the world. It's there. But if your smartphone doesn't have a battery, a power, then it isn't going to do anything. And if your smartphone is alive and has a battery, and you turn it on and it sits there, And the smartphone is on. You have the battery and power. But you know what? It didn't do you much good. It doesn't do you any good until you go and tell that little smartphone to be smart and to go, and you slide your finger or whatever you do with all those little squares with pictures in them and stuff, and you go and move it around, and you get information. Wow, that's right. Because you had it isn't that they done isn't on, it is on. But you need to go and exercise it to do what you want it to do. Otherwise, it isn't going to be there. God has given you His Word and His Son in your heart. He's the Word become flesh. Now, how much in using a smartphone? Here's your phone, and I don't know all this stuff, but anyway, I think you can go and hit the right buttons and find out the weather in Hong Kong. Just like that. But if you don't do it, you won't know the weather in Hong Kong. And the weatherman could be looking at Hong Kong to see what's going to happen in Connecticut. I mean, you never know. Now, so here's the weather, and you have to exercise it. You have to exercise the wonderful person inside of you to have the benefits. If you don't, it's not going to be. It isn't that you don't have them, because you truly, truly believed. But nothing's going to happen unless you abide and enter into the relationship. And otherwise, your smartphone is smart, and it can tell you all kinds of things. And it's alive and well. There it is. It sits. I'm really, really saved. But nothing's going to happen unless you exercise a relationship to it. Now, having said that, and to know that, and that's what you need to do. Now, so we share together in the process that God has created us and that we are to be exercised in an awesome way, Romans chapter 1, etc., that where God makes himself known to the human heart, and if the human heart would receive what he's doing, then the human heart would get saved and known. But the human heart chooses not to get saved, and they choose not to recognize their Creator, their Savior, and they don't get saved. So now, God, here we are looking, and you must come. We must come to God and believe that you are, and we share together in John chapter 1, as you know, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that's verse 14. Verse 12, and we receive him, the Word that became flesh, we receive him as our Savior. And when we receive him as our Savior, we're given a unique and wonderful relationship to God in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that, and we receive him, and we go from death to life in an awesome way. Now, that's what happens. So, over to Ephesians. And I just want to remind myself and you and I again, so what happened to us if when we come to know the Lord as our Savior? And that's what you want to say. Not are you a sinner, all of those things are true, but the real problem and the quickest way to get it, I think, or a quickest way, is to go and what? Tell me about your personal relationship to Almighty God right now. Can you talk to him? Talk to him. I'm listening. Talk to him. Oh, no, talk to him. I can talk to him. You can talk to him. That's a test. Okay. So, God, well, that's you need to know him. That's right. That's the problem. And without him, he is life. Without him, you're dead. Therefore, Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's what happens to a person. They enter into a reality of a relationship to the Lord God in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So we were dead. We need to have life, wonderful, wonderful life. And that life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we receive that life in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive God and all of his wonderful, wonderful fullness. Now, in the light of that, over if you would please, while you're right here for that, I'll do that since you're right next door to it. Look at chapter 1 in Ephesians, and in verse 22, as you probably over and over and over again till it sinks in, 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head, God the Father gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And then you don't have to guess, well, what is the church? It is his body, verse 23. And the body represents the person of Jesus Christ. It isn't about your body anymore, it's about his body. His body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He gives life to the body, and the body shows his life. He gives his life to the body, and the body shows his life. Just like you. You have hands, eyes, nose, all those different things. And your person inside is given expression by way of your physical body. And your physical body shows and exhibits you. Take you away and will bury you. The body's dead. But as long as you're in it, the body's alive. And you can go and your body shows you. What is the church? Christ is the life. God is. And when God saves us, our relationship to him, we share that wonderful, wonderful relationship. Now, hang on to that. And we enjoy his fullness, which is what we were looking at. And in the process, over to chapter 3, verse 19, we know the love of Christ, which passes 3 and 19. We know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Purpose, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, God, that's what you want us to understand, a relationship to you that is going to go and cause us to know your fullness, your wonderful, wonderful fullness. And we're going to be filled, that you might be filled. That's what it is. God's loving us, and God puts us through all kinds of Romans chapter 1, 5, 1 through 3, 4, 5, Romans 5, puts us through all kinds of trouble and test and try to get us to understand the wonderful hope that we have, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Spirit of God. And what's the love going to help us understand? How much of God do we have? You have all of God. All of God in the person of Christ. Now, there is nowhere. God is everywhere. There's nothing outside of God, and everywhere God is thoroughly, wonderfully, totally God. He's never less than God. Neither are you never less than the person inside of you. Now, I know there's schizophrenia and all those other things. Wow. I have a thing tonight on marijuana. That's the cause of schizophrenia, and then psychotic problems, and then crime, big crime. Get the idea. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking to your wonderful, wonderful work that you do, and you fill us, and that's what you want to do, so that we can enjoy a relationship to you that is complete. And chapter 5, and in verse 18, and while I'm here, verse 18, and you be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, there's your little word, with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is going to go and produce fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. The fruit is in us. The fruit belongs to the God. It's about God's life, God's peace, God's love, God's joy. It isn't ours. We're able to participate in fullness. In fullness. That's important because the Lord Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And you will do the same thing I do, only in a different, in the body. You're going to exercise and evidence life, L-I-F-E. That's what you're going to do. In a state of death, in a world of darkness and death, you're going to demonstrate life. And where are we going to demonstrate the life? By way of the fruit. The fruit. Now, and what, a little more, just go over to Colossians, and then I'm going back to John, if I can. Over to the Colossians, chapter 1, right next door. And you'll remember of our Lord, Colossians 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, so we don't have to guess at that, it's just plain biblical sense. The head and the body, the church, Christ is the head, the church is his body. And it is not our body anymore, it belongs to him. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he might have preeminence, the first and highest place. Reason for it pleased the Father, that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. So, if it's all of God, how much, if God is going to give his all so that everything can be just what it should be, how much of you is needed? If God's just giving you partial, then we need to add some more. But if God's given it all, then there's nothing we need to add. It's all done. Aha! Now, therefore, chapter 2. As you know, verse 9. For in him dwelleth, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all of his wonderful God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Verse 10. And you are complete, there's your little word full again, underlined, connected, verse 9, fullness, verse 9, verse 10, complete. You are full, complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. So he's the head of the body. And so therefore we're filled, full. Now, God, that's what you're doing, and you have, so, if I can, over to John and chapter 15. John in chapter 15. And we're talking about abiding. And I'm going to read the verse and then illustrate it again. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now, so God, you've been telling, and John chapter 15, remember, is now God is laying it straight on the line. If you don't make a connection, all that I'm telling you can't go anywhere. It'll never happen. Never happen. Now, and I've made it possible for this to you to have a unique relationship to me, abide, dwell, find your home, lock on, and you're going to produce fruit. Now, and so a branch we shared together with the hose, we had a hose, and we connect the hose to the faucet, and if the hose is connected to your kitchen sink, only so much water is coming out. If you connect the hose to the hydrant out front, man, this will be something else, wouldn't it? When you're trusting yourself, when you look to God, What a difference.
That's right. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would. Now, so remember now, here's the branch. Where are you? Here's the branch, and it's full. It isn't, there's not a trickle, drip, 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 not a trickle. It's gushing out. It has to gush out. The Spirit of God, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you aren't filled with a little bit of God. God in you isn't a little bit. He's all. And when he shows himself, you don't see and realize part of him. You may only see, he may express himself in a small way. But the one who's expressing himself is all of God's wonderful person. And he gives us peace which passes understanding. And the peace is in us, and it shows itself. But what's it doing? It's showing the peace. But where's this coming from? It's coming from God. All of God. That's right. It isn't a piecemeal. So my fullness is coming out. And God, so when you're showing and doing, you do what you do. You help us find a parking place, whatever you want to do, God. And you do it. It's an expression of your wonderful person. When the doctor goes, and the doctor goes and takes the little splinter out of your hand, and the little splinter is there, and if you were watching, here's the tweezers, and he pulls the splinter out. Could you see the doctor when he did it? It's only a little splinter. That's all it is. But boy, look who did it. He's right there. Now, God, that same doctor. Now, you're going to lay down. Gives you a shot of Novocaine. And he lay down, and he's going to do a heart transplant. Here you go. Wow, that's the same doctor. And he takes your heart and holds it up to see what it looks like. Well, and there it is, and there's the same doctor, from a splinter to the heart. You're going to have all of them. God, you have to express yourself in the thick and thin of it. We're in the middle of you, and you're in the middle of us. And God, whenever you do anything, it's all of you, all of you. And the branch, wonderfully, enjoys all of you. Now, this branch, this hair, it can't. All it can do is flow through it, this rubber hose. That's all it can do. Ah, but we've got to change the illustration now to fit. Therefore, in the process, if I can do this right, coming, don't go away. Now, here we are. That's just any old branch. So we can't do much with that. It's just the average branch. But, when we go to a little thing here, and we go to this branch right here. You have to become a branch expert. Now, see this branch? Are you impressed? Now, this is a peach branch from a peach tree. There's no peaches. It's just a branch. There's no peaches here. But you know what? Can I put this branch on the maple tree out front? This branch is special, isn't it? It's a peach branch. It has to go to a peach vine tree, understand? It has to go to a peach tree. This isn't a, you understand that? Now. Now, this here
is a pear branch, a pear tree. You see, peach, pear. They're different. They're different. They're different. But they belong. They belong. They belong to the, this belongs to the pear tree, pear tree. A peach tree, pear tree. Pear tree. Belongs to that. So this is a pear tree, and it has to go to a pear branch. It can't go to any branch. It can't go to a tomato plant. It has to go to a peach, a pear, a tree branch. That's what it has to do. It has to do that because that's what it is. Now, this here, you would think these are bigger trees. You would think that would be a bigger branch. This is the blueberry branch, blueberries. Now, can I put this on the pear tree? No, no. This branch has to go to the blueberry bush, and it can't go. It can't go anywhere else. That's where it came from. That's where it belongs. It's that's what it is. You got that part? This is a grape branch from a grapevine. And this only goes on a grapevine. Do you understand? Look at John chapter 15. And you see verse 3. Now, you, now, N-O-W, remember we did this. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And they we shared together, we did that verb, we did the verb and the verse and the context so that you understand that they understood. They have been absorbing, even though they can't put it together, they're right there. They got all of this inside. And God said, you are not a pear, preach, peach, blueberry, or any old branch, or a rubber hose. You are a grapevine branch. That's what you are. You're with me. I'm the vine, and you are with me, and you belong where? To me. That's why he's saying you're clean. We did that. That's why they're already, are they going to be, they're there at Pentecost, they're there and they become the first ones, as it were, into the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost. They're there, they're clean. Therefore, he says, since you're clean and you want a pear or a peach tree, I have made you, and you aren't just any old human anymore, you don't belong to the human race. Like this, you belong to me. You're bought with a price. Did you ever read that? You're not your own. It's your body. Your body is mine. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Reckon yourself alive. You're this. Therefore abide. Do you understand? I can't tell these others to abide. They can't abide. You have to be saved. What makes you abide? You receive my Son as your Savior. He made you a new creature in Christ. You're bought with the Christ. Therefore, you're mine. Most Christians don't believe they're his. Oh, I'm his, all right, but I do what I want, when I want, how I want. I come and go, wow, it's my life. You missed it. You're a branch, a grape branch, for grapes, for fruit. And without me, you can't do it. You can't go, you know more. Can you? You can't do it once you're saved. You can't go to the peach tree and say, hey, peach and pears, gang, here's all the gang over here with these peach tree and everything. Here's the gang. Wow, gang, world, you don't belong here anymore. Do you understand? You belong to him. You're his witness. You're bought with a price.
You're his branch. And you share. You're a branch. The branch. This branch, sliding it down, here we go, it's right down here, the branch, and it goes into the vine, and the vine looks just like the branch. And the branch looks just like the vine. God, what are you doing? I'm changing you into my image. No? What are you doing here now? Getting old and aging and deteriorating, even young people. That's what you're doing. But it isn't any more that. Our outward man is perishing, but it isn't about this anymore. It's about our relationship to him. You're a new creature, and you share it with sons for real. How many Christians do you know that even think like that? And that's what God said you are. Wonderfully, this is what you are. And you're like him. I'm a child of God, a son of God. No? Or is that just a lot of words? And that's what he's saying. He says it's an absolute necessity. That's why he stands up and says, you guys understand this? Except you abide in me, nothing's going to happen. And that's what he did in an awesome, wonderful way. I hope that gets you. You belong to him. You say, I don't. I'm going to get saved as, well, see that, get saved as by fire. You probably may. You may. But I'll tell you what, in that day, even if you get saved by fire, you're going to have his kind of body. That's the way it is. You may not have whatever, there's no question, if the righteous hardly get saved, 1 Peter 4, they hardly get saved with difficulty, no question, but boy, they're going to get saved if they have Christ in them. They have to get saved. God's obligated, even though they're saved by fire. That's why you're going to read a little later, down in verse 6, if you abide not in me, the branch is cast forth and thrown into the fire. That's right. What am I going to do with a branch that's floating out here away from the vine? It can't produce any fruit unless it abides. Well, boy, I got my job and my work and my home and my trying to make my life a little better. And that's, I understand that. That's our humanness. That's our flesh. I do. But it isn't about that. It's about something that should have happened to you when you got saved. An awesome, awesome thing happened. We've shared it 5 zillion times. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. That means new. It doesn't mean you're going to be new next year. When God sees you, he doesn't see you as any old branch anymore. He sees you as his branch. Otherwise, you aren't going to be saved. If God doesn't see you as his son, you aren't saved. Now, therefore, what am I going to do with the truth? I've got to understand. I need to be obligated in an awesome way. I need to abide. God has made my whole life. So, whatever you do, think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've sort of lost it a little bit, but I hope you're getting a little. I just want you to understand something rather simply. Otherwise, you're going to keep plugging along and going to get nowhere. And I'll be able to say at either my funeral or yours, what do you got? Looking down. What did you do? What do you got? I hope you're saved. That's what I do. I hope you're saved. God knows. I don't make the decision. God does. I hope you're saved. I don't know. Well, we're going to go to heaven. You better count to 10, count to 100 to say that. Man, you only go to heaven if Christ is in you. If Christ isn't in you, you aren't going anywhere except the other place. And either he is or he isn't. And either I'm going to understand what happened to me or I'm not. Otherwise, I'm playing a church game. And we lose. And they're going to be cast into the fire. What good are they? Men know that. The men know. Remember we shared about Israel. The world's going to, every time Israel gets clipped in the state, the status and state it's in, the world knows. It isn't because they goofed with idolatry. It's because they have flunked out with God. And they know, Israel, you flunked out with God. You didn't do the right thing. You didn't believe him. That's why you're there. And we've shared that in the evening, etc., many times. They just know. And you say, well, I'm a churchgoer, I'm a Methodist, Baptist, congregation, whatever. And they don't care. But the minute you say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, God Almighty is in my heart and saved me. Now, you wouldn't maybe say it all that way, but that's true. And boy, are you going to get shot at, don't tell me you aren't, to say God is in you? God. They'll say, which God? The only God there is, the infinite God. And the minute you start that, it can't be true. But it is. See? Wow. Oh, yeah. I didn't do it. Corinthians. I did say that. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. I'm going to read verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, puts a hold upon us, keeps us restrained, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that, verse 15, that he died for all, that they which live should not, N-O-T, henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we don't live unto ourselves. No, we don't. We got a whole new life. Work, home, school, family, what, the old-fashioned families, family life is long gone. God help us. But God, it isn't about our earthly family. It isn't about whether everything was wonderful, everything was terrible. It isn't about your job or your school or your health or your friends. No, it's about God saved you from all of that. He says he saves you from Matthew to Revelation. He tells you he saved you. For whom? Himself. To be his. He took you from being this, and he made you into his own vine. And therefore, he says, since you are clean, make sure you're abiding. Make sure you're abiding. Wow. First John. Thank you for listening. I hope you got a little bit. The day will come, you'll never hear it again, so be of good cheer. You can be sure if the time continues, you'll never even come close to hearing this ever again. Wow. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read them. In closing, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Why not? Because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God. Not next year, not next week, not 5 minutes from now,
Now are we the sons of God, children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We're looking just like we do in the mirror. But we know that when he shall appear at any moment, God help us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, this awesome expectancy, to what? To be like him. I'm still in this body, but God has made me to be his. My old nature, you see that, but I show fruit, so you know that I'm saved. That's by my fruits you'll know me. I'm saved. I look the same old flesh, same old picture I had 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 80 years ago, same old picture. But I'm new, and I'm going to be changed in a moment. This flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's gone, and I'm going to be totally new. That's your hope. You're looking for that. I am. You're looking for that. Saved. Wow. Now, and therefore, verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is impure. Say, what about your sin? We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And I'm looking to be like him. I understand I'm to be like him. I am like him. He in me and I in him. And God said, that'll take care of all your raunchy, bad thoughts and deeds. Because you're going to be like me. And that makes you a pure man. Clean, clean, clean. Not because you did clean things and didn't say anything. No. Because you are looking to me to be everything I want you to be. Who goes? Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work. Spirit of God, what can we say? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name.